Romans chapter 14 all the way to chapter 15 verse 13 is a unit, and the theme of it is how to treat Christians who disagree with you about disputable matters. Now, there are two things you absolutely must keep in mind as you consider this section of Scripture, or you will go amiss. The first thing you must keep in mind is there are essentials, and then there are non-essential issues in the Christian life. These non-essential matters are called opinions in the English Standard Version. They're called doubtful disputations in the King James Version. They are called doubtful things in the New King James Version. They are called scruples in the American Standard Version. They are called disputable matters in the New International Version. And I kind of like that designation of them. Some of the absolutes in the Christian life are the confessions that we make in the Apostles' Creed about the Trinity, about the creation of heaven and earth, the sovereignty of God, the deity of Jesus Christ, His virgin birth, His crucifixion, His resurrection, His ascension, His return, the final judgment, about the church, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Those are some of the essentials of the Christian faith. They are absolutes. They don't change. If you disagree with those things, then you are not orthodox. You may not even be a Christian. Some other absolutes in the Christian life are the things that God has declared righteous and unrighteous. The Ten Commandments are moral absolutes. Murder is sin. Adultery and fornication are sins. Lying is sin. Stealing is sin. Coveting is sin. These things are ethical absolutes and they will never change. They will always be sins. Romans 14:1 to 15:13, we are not dealing with issues like the Trinity, the virgin birth, or the resurrection of Christ. We're not dealing with justification by faith. We are not dealing with issues like abortion and homosexuality. We're not dealing with same-sex marriage. We are not dealing with drunkenness. What we are dealing with here is what the New International Version calls disputable matters. And what are disputable matters? Disputable matters are things that God has not clearly designated as absolutely right or wrong for all time. Things that may be problematic for us. There are three specific disputable issues mentioned in this passage of Scripture. One is about eating. Romans 14:2 says, one person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Another disputable matter is about sacred days. Romans 14:5 says, one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The third disputable matter mentioned in the passage is about drinking wine. Romans 14:21 says, it is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. In other words, eating meat and drinking wine are permissible, but you may have to abstain in a situation that causes your brother to stumble over your opinion about that. We don't know why some of these Christians refuse to eat meat. We don't know what days were involved in the dispute about sacred days. It is probably safe to say that it was about some of the Jewish holy days of the Old Testament that are not required to be celebrated in the New Covenant. Some of the Jewish converts probably wanted to keep observing those Old Testament feast days. The Lord's Day was not the issue. Gathering for worship on the Lord's Day was settled, and it is not a disputable matter. Then, we don't know what the question was about drinking wine. That probably was not a Jewish thing, because the Jews generally had no problem drinking wine. These were the disputable matters for the Christians in Rome at that particular time. We have our own disputable matters today. Some that usually come to mind are such things as alcohol, tobacco, dancing, going to movies, playing cards, long hair and short skirts, makeup and jewelry, and there are many others besides. Sometimes we as Christians set standards in these areas that are not necessarily biblical. Jerry Clower used to tell a story about a woman in the temperance movement. She was campaigning against the use of alcohol, and someone in the audience rose up and said, "Jesus drank wine." The woman said, "Yes, he did, and I would have thought a whole lot more of him if he hadn't." Charles Spurgeon was given a cigar one time, and one of his parishioners asked him what he was going to do with it. He said, "I'm going to smoke it for the glory of God." I guess anything you can honestly do for the glory of God is okay. So what we are dealing with here in this passage is disputable matters, non-essentials, which Christians can have different opinions about. The other thing we must keep in mind about this section of Scripture is that these are disputable matters among Christians. These people are all assumed to be Christians. This is not a debate between Christians and non-Christians. We assume that in the essentials of the Christian faith, they are all in agreement. But the debate is about these disputable matters, opinions about non-essentials. We can be Christians and disagree. We can hold different opinions about non-essentials, and we do. That is why there are different denominations within Christianity. I once read a book by Max Lucado, who is a Church of Christ pastor. And I don't remember what book it was, but he said, "I deeply appreciate my heritage, but through the years, my faith has been supplemented by people of other groups. A Brazilian Pentecostal taught me about prayer. A British Anglican by the name of C.S. Lewis put muscle in my faith. A Southern Baptist helped me understand grace. One Presbyterian by the name of Steve Brown taught me about God's sovereignty, while another, Frederick Buechner, taught me about God's passion. A Catholic, Brennan Manning, convinced me that Jesus is relentlessly tender. I am a better husband because I read James Dobson, and a better preacher because I listened to Chuck Swindoll and Bill Hybels. And only when I get home will I learn the name of a radio preacher whose message steered me back to Christ when I was a graduate student who'd lost his bearings." All of those people he named disagree about non-essentials. We can be Christians and disagree about disputable matters. So what do we do about disputable matters among Christians? The main thing we do is accept one another because we agree on the essentials, even though we disagree on the non-essentials. I have found three principles in Romans chapter 14 that will help us with regard to disputable matters among Christians. And the first one is this: don't live by other people's convictions about disputable matters. Romans 14:5 says, "One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind." God has not spelled out everything for us in the Bible, but He has given us everything we need to know to develop convictions about everything. He has given us some latitude, but He expects us to read His Word and develop our own personal convictions about disputable matters. If we try to live by other people's convictions, we will end up like the old man, the boy, and the donkey. You know about the old man, the boy, and the donkey, don't you? An old man, his son, and a donkey were traveling. The old man was riding the donkey. The boy was walking alongside. They came to a town, and the townspeople criticized the old man. They said, "Look at that old man making that poor boy walk while he rides the donkey." So the old man and the boy switched places. The next town they came to, the boy was riding the donkey and the old man was walking alongside. The townspeople criticized the boy for making his father walk while he rode the donkey. So they both got on the donkey. The next town they came to, they were both riding the donkey. And the townspeople criticized them for being cruel to the little donkey. The next town they came to, the old man and his boy were carrying the donkey. Now, I'm not suggesting that everyone should just do as they please on a whim about disputable matters. The verse says, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. That suggests that some thought has been invested in this matter and a conviction has been established. It is our responsibility on these disputable matters to study God's Word and to come up with our own personal convictions about them and then live by them. The second principle in this passage is this: do not tear down the work of God for the sake of disputable matters. Romans 14:20 says, "Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats." The matters being dealt with in this chapter, as I said, are non-essentials. But it is possible that so much could be made of trivial matters that a church could be destroyed by the disputes involved. It would be like the squabbling over the color of wallpaper in the kitchen while the building is burning down. Some things are just not worth fighting over. I have run across a term several times, and I don't even know if I'm saying it right. The term is pyrrhic victory. A pyrrhic victory is a victory that is so costly that it might as well have been a defeat. The term pyrrhic victory is derived from King Pyrrhus, one of the greatest generals of Hellenistic times. In 279 BC, he defeated the Romans in Asculum. In doing so, the Roman army cut off and destroyed his supplies and so devastated his army that they may as well have been defeated. When he was congratulated by his friends for defeating the Romans, he exclaimed, "Another such victory over the Romans and we are doomed." Some things are worth fighting for. Some things are worth dying for. I agree with the man who said if there's nothing worth dying for, then there's not much worth living for. If what you are living for is not worth dying for, then what you're living for is not worth living for. But right now, we're not talking about those heavyweight matters that are worth dying for. We are talking about eating and drinking and special days and a thousand other disputable matters. We have to be wise enough to distinguish between the trivial and the weighty matters. Make sure the price you pay is worth the consequences. A man at a party walked over to a woman and said, "You are wearing the most beautiful diamond ring that I have ever seen." She responded, "It's the Chapman diamond, and a curse comes with it." Backing off a bit, the man asked, "What is the curse?" The woman frowned and replied, "Mr. Chapman, who gave it to me." Maxie Dunham told that story, and then he said, "That's a telling commentary on life. Sometimes the price we pay for things is too great, and it's not always as obvious and dramatic as the curse of the Chapman diamond." We can sell our integrity for money. We can sell our sense of self-worth by doing those expected things to fit in. We can sell our capacity to dream by settling for security. We can sell our character by compromising our values. And I'll add one more. We can destroy a church by arguing about trivial things. Don't tear the work of God down for the sake of disputable matters. What are we to do about disputable matters among Christians? Don't live by other people's convictions about disputable matters. Don't tear down the work of God for the sake of disputable matters. And then in the third place, don't expect everyone else to live by your convictions about disputable matters. Romans 14:22 says, "The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves." In other words, don't expect everyone else to live by your convictions. I read a story by Paul Long some time ago that came to my mind as I was thinking on this point. Paul Long was a missionary in Africa in the 1950s. He later taught at Reformed Theological Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. When Paul Long was a missionary in the Congo in 1955, one of his native assistants was sent to a village among the Baluba peoples to teach the affair of God. That's what they called the gospel, the affair of God. A grass-roofed chapel and a house for the teacher had been built for Mutombo to live in. When he moved Mutombo and his family into the new work, the whole village took part in the celebration. Someone mentioned that the witch doctor was not happy with the new turn of events in his village. But Paul Long gave little attention to his displeasure. After 2 weeks in the village, Mutombo was ready to move out. He was afraid. He told Paul Long the power of the devil was very strong there. The witch doctor had put a curse on Mutombo. Paul Long insisted that Mutombo stay in the village, which was easy for him to do since he lived at the mission station some distance away. "If you tell me to stay, I will stay," Mutombo replied. "But my head and my heart both tell me to move out with my family today." Well, Mutombo stayed because of Paul Long, and within 24 hours, Mutombo was dead. Paul Long said he learned several lessons from that experience. The first one was never be heroic with someone else's life. The consequences of our expecting others to live according to our convictions about disputable matters may not be as drastic as the case with Paul Long and Mutombo, but I think the principle is the same. Never be heroic with someone else's life. Don't expect others to live by your convictions about disputable matters. What are we to do about disputable matters among Christians? Don't live by someone else's convictions. Don't destroy the work of God for the sake of disputable matters. Don't expect others to live by your convictions about disputable matters. Before we put these principles into practice, we must settle the matter of whether we are a Christian or not. There's no dispute about how to become a Christian. Christ died for sinners. There is salvation in none other. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I invite you to come to Him. Place your faith by the grace of God, by the enabling of the Holy Spirit in the Lord Jesus, who offered Himself for sinners. And we are sinners. May God give you the grace to come. Let's pray. Our Father, we are so grateful to You for the instruction the Apostle Paul gives us in Holy Scripture regarding disagreements among Christians on non-essentials. Enable us, Lord, to respond properly. If we are strong, may we not despise the weak. If we are weak, may we not condemn the strong. God forbid that we would destroy the work of God for the sake of disputable matters. Amen.